Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. About a quarter of Delaware youth identify as LGBTQ+, according to the Delaware School Survey. And a new study from the University of Delaware finds LGBTQ+ adolescents experience higher rates of anxiety, depression, and substance use. They're also more likely to report all three at younger ages than their cisgender heterosexual counterparts. Delaware Public Media's Abigail Lee recently sat down with UD Assistant Professor of Human Development and Family Sciences, Eric Leyland, to talk about his study's findings and what they mean for the first date.
I know your study looks at data from 2022 to 2024. Can you tell me a little bit about what you looked into?
So the Delaware School Survey is administered in 5th grade, 8th grade, and 11th grade across the state of Delaware. It includes youth of all identities, so not just queer youth, but we did focus on the specific outcomes and experiences for LGBTQ youth across the state, and we focused on 8th grade and 11th grade. So a lot of this is about health surveillance and monitoring of substance use, mental health, educational performance, engagement in schools, access to basic needs. So it's really a way of monitoring and understanding the state of the land for health among LGBTQ youth, but in this survey for all youth, and then we just focused in on what's happening for the queer and trans youth specifically.
All right, and what's happening with queer and trans youth right now?
One thing that I think is really interesting from what we found, the rates of psychological distress and of anxiety are not great for youth generally, that we were seeing more than 50% of youth reporting experiencing recent symptoms of anxiety, for example, in 8th grade and 11th grade, and that's for all youth. But then when we start to look and say, well, how is it different or potentially worse among LGBTQ youth in the state, we see that those rates jump up above 75%, sometimes above 80% of youth who are saying, I have recently been feeling anxious or feeling distressed. And so that's not great. It's not great that 4 out of 5 LGBTQ youth in the state of Delaware are experiencing mental health symptoms. When a particular subgroup like LGBTQ youth have such an elevated rate of mental health concerns, that then is alarming for us as researchers, as clinicians, as legislators to consider what is going on that is harming these youth in particular, and where can we intervene to eliminate those disparities?
And what are some of the factors that are playing into these differences between queer and cis-hetero youth?
So specifically, we did see really elevated rates of psychological distress and anxiety at very concerning levels, so more than 200% higher among LGBTQ youth in terms of experiencing recent psychological distress. But they're receiving messages directly and indirectly from peers, perhaps from family, from teachers, from media, that are denigrating and putting down their identity. And that creates a cycle of distress that's hard for them to break out of, which contributes to these elevated mental health symptoms, these risks of suicide, and even this response to this distress by using substances more.
I'm interested in your take on what the differences were between your findings using the numbers from 8th graders versus 11th graders. And what does that tell us about queer youth and how their experience shifts and changes in that period?
So in terms of mental health, the disparities were about the same in 8th grade and 11th grade. So we didn't see too much difference in how many youth were experiencing anxiety and psychological distress around age 13 and around age 17. But where we did see more differences was in terms of substance use. And what we found is that the disparities were bigger between LGBTQ youth and their peers in 8th grade, which means that LGBTQ youth are starting to use substances earlier and at higher rates than their cisgender and heterosexual peers. So there's still disparities by 11th grade, but they're smaller, which we might expect that because more youth in general are starting to experiment and try substances and drugs. So it is concerning that LGBTQ youth might be initiating substance use earlier than their peers, because that can be a bit of a predictor of more problems in the future.
What's the difference between cis heterosexual 8th graders versus LGBTQ plus 8th graders in terms of substance use?
We see disparities existing between the LGBTQ youth and the cisgender heterosexual youth for all substances that we measured. So that included drinking, cigarette smoking, vaping, marijuana use, and prescription misuse. And the biggest disparities were in terms of cigarette smoking. So we see that there's about 140% higher level of cigarette smoking among LGBTQ youth compared to their cisgender heterosexual peers. And then like a 90% higher level of drinking, 120% higher vaping. It is not uncommon among teens to start to use these substances. But what is most concerning is that it's beyond alcohol and marijuana and extending into cigarette smoking and also into prescription drug misuse, and that it is happening earlier. That's what alarms me the most, that it's beyond the typical drugs that teens use and that it's happening earlier.
And these results, especially at this rate, with some of the numbers, you know, exceeding 100%, 200%, is that what you expected to find when you were in the middle of collecting data?
So based on the research that exists across the nation in terms of substance use and mental health, we did anticipate disparities. Some of what was surprising is how bad those disparities are, like how alarming that gap is between these groups, particularly because Delaware is generally a state that has a lot of the right policies in place for protecting LGBTQ people, including youth. And so we may have hoped that the disparities would be small or non-existent, but the data is pretty clear that both for mental health and substance use, LGBTQ youth are faring worse than their peers. And this is really recent data. This is from 2022 to 2024. So we're not looking at data from pre-COVID or even during COVID, when that particular social and historical stressor was leading to major spikes in mental health problems for really all demographics.
What kinds of issues are we seeing in Delaware, despite having the right policies in place?
Yeah, so we don't have a formal assessment in this research of, let's say, for example, schools' abilities to administer their anti-bullying policies for LGBTQ youth. But what's really difficult to assess is like district by district, school by school, classroom by classroom adherence to these policies. Because a lot of what happens in terms of the mistreatment of LGBTQ youth is subtle. It's not so much that a school has banned a queer youth from participating in an activity because of their identity, but it might be subtle mistreatment from a staff member or from peers that's maybe up to the teen themselves to have to be the one to document and report that this has happened. So it puts pressure on the youth. And I'll add too that one thing that we are observing is a higher percentage of youth identifying as LGBTQ. And in these surveys, we found that around 1 in 4 youth from the Delaware School Survey were identifying as LGBTQ youth. So sometimes I think when policies were formed in the past, we thought this is protecting like a small number of our youth to have inclusive curricula or anti-bullying policy. But what we found, and this did surprise us, is that nearly 25% of Delaware youth in this survey were identifying as LGBTQ. And often that's an underestimate in the survey because youth may not all be ready to check a box to say that they are gay or trans.
I understand there's not one solution here, but what do we do with this data? What do you want to see from schools, from families?
There is an answer that is focused on policy. Policy is one solution to improving the environment for LGBTQ youth. But policy takes time to form in committees, to draft, to vote, to reform, vote again. And so I think that there is room for some improvement to policy in the state of Delaware as far as it's focused on LGBTQ inclusion and curricula in schools in Delaware. So that is a place to start, but I don't think it's the only thing we should be considering because schools and districts can make changes. Even teachers in classrooms can make changes without waiting for policy to mandate it. So some of the takeaway from this research is that we shouldn't be waiting until high school and college to be providing support for LGBTQ youth because we see disparities by eighth grade already. So I think that middle schools in particular might need to start thinking more about the types of resources that need to be available for LGBTQ youth. There's also opportunities in classrooms to make sure that we have inclusive curricula. So when we're teaching about American history, do we teach about queer history? That's a part of American history as well. When we're teaching about literature, does that include highlighting that some of the authors that we read are LGBTQ? And then another thing that I think is important is opportunities for additional bystander intervention. And so we can train both peers and teachers and staff to be prepared to know how to respond if they observe the mistreatment, bullying, or discrimination of an LGBTQ youth.
Like you said, policy is one part of that. But the bulk of your answer had to do with how we can make these changes at the local level. Why do you think that's the way to go?
Yeah, I do think we need both. But youth interact most directly with their teachers, with their peers, with their family. And so the fastest and most direct way they will experience something different in their environment is from those person-to-person relationships. But even in environments where policy is lacking, families and schools can make more immediate efforts to change the environment around LGBTQ youth and provide those supports. And having peer support and family support are some of the strongest predictors of positive well-being for LGBTQ youth. Policy matters, but having those people in your life that support you is really what matters most for LGBTQ youth. So schools are a really important environment, but they're not the only environment. And in fact, we see from other research that parents have a really big impact on youth's experiences at schools, including LGBTQ youth. So even if a school might be a negative environment for an LGBTQ youth, supportive parents can buffer some of that harm by providing at least a home environment that's supportive. But what we find is a lot of parents aren't really sure what to do. And so they end up online trying to sort through resources or asking their teens, what should I do? And the teens don't always know what is needed either. So we're really working to identify how to support parents to support youth. We're trying to get some projects off the ground in terms of statewide affirming resources to teach parents how to be more affirming, to process their feelings as parents of LGBTQ youth, connect with other parents, and ultimately be more supportive, more affirming, and accepting of their teens so that those LGBTQ teens have a better home environment and better outcomes.
Thanks to UD Assistant Professor of Human Development and Family Sciences, Eric Leyland, and our Abigail Lee for joining us on The Green this week. And stay with us. We learn more about a new effort to expand affordable housing options for seniors in Sussex County. That's next on The Green here on Delaware Public Media.